Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We are so excited to be able to join you, Christian Television Network audience, especially on the Gulf Coast, every Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And you can catch us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio. You can download our app. There's so many different ways to be able to get us. But it's just an exciting conversation. And as the days get closer to all the things that God had said to launch us and what he wanted, it just makes much more sense to pay attention and keep the conversation light. Appreciative of all the ones who stood up for the Constitution and stood up for the country and stood up for God in these last elections. And then America said, that's who we want to lead us, which is huge. Of course, the answer is not a political answer. Mm-hmm. It's a repentance answer. But if you got to have somebody at the wheel, you'd rather have somebody at the wheel of that nature. But also, one big celebration is that the first African-American senator in the South from South Carolina, North Carolina?
South Carolina.
It is
Scott.
Senator Scott. First, think about this. This is the first African-American senator in the South. And it was actually, I think, the people, it was more conservatives who said they wanted to have.
Yeah.
And then you had Maya Love. She's the first African-American woman conservative coming out of Utah. She's a congresswoman. There's a huge, huge barriers are broken in this election. Mm-hmm. It's shocking. Yeah. It's sort of like saying that, Nelson Mandela is the first black president of South Africa. It's like, really? I mean, isn't that where Africans come from? Yeah. Why it took so long for, and then it's like, finally, justice came in order where Nelson Mandela, a rightful son of South Africa, becomes president. And we're seeing that's a beautiful thing to see what took place, in our elections. And it's good to see, too, that how people are not focusing on they're judging people based on the content of their character and their appreciation for God and country.
Sure.
And, not the outside appearance, that's what Dr. King said, right? Mm-hmm. And this is very exciting to see that. We need to pray for all those in authority over us, those in leadership. There's it's not a party situation. There's all 530 some odd people have been sent to Washington, D.C. It's a balance of government. You have the executive branch, which is the president. Then you have the legislative branch, which is the Senate and the House of Representatives. And then you have the judiciary branch, which is the Supreme Court. They're equally powered. No matter what, Jesus tells us to pray for them. We need to pray for them. The Word of God commands us if we want to have a peaceful life. And we'll be sharing probably in our next program, you got to get it, where a prophetic word by John Paul Jackson about what is taking place with, potential attacks on our nation and things of that nature. We need to prepare for it. And one way to prepare for it is to pray for those in authority over us. Some of the worst thing that could ever happen is any of our leaders anywhere, from your local school board all the way up to Washington, D.C., any harm to come to anybody, because to harm any one of these people is to harm the entire nation.
Yeah.
And, ultimately has been said about the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, Hezbollah, and all that radical ISIS and ISIL. Mm-hmm. The ultimate enemy is America. I mean, you got 300 million, in America, and you got 12 million in Israel. I mean, the West is what they want to be able to fundamentally transform. And luckily, they had a lot of help in that. And so, but I'm excited about the direction that we're going. It's very positive. And we need to pray for wisdom for all of our leaders in Washington, D.C. that, I was listening to, a previous take of Bob Jones, who's gone to be with the Lord right now, and Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and Paul Kane. Paul Kane, a prophet in the Lord, is with the Lord now, I believe. Yeah. Right?
No.
No?
Not sure.
Okay. Well, he's always been with them, but whether he's presently with them, we don't know.
Presently with them, we don't know.
But he went to speak to Hussein.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Yes.
Just verifying this with John. We got to make sure.
Guess what?
It's like the you know, right? Got to make sure. Anyway, I guess he's alive is what he means, right? And so that he went to speak to Hussein before this Iraqi war that went down, and he had an opportunity to repent. He had an opportunity to repent, and God gives leaders a chance to repent. And if you look again and again and again, you know, so many people get a political mindset about people, and God is not a politician. He's God. And he loves us all, including your people that you think's against you. He loves your enemy. And that he wants every man everywhere to repent. And he'll give a leader, because war is the worst thing that could ever happen to a people. That's like Satan's ultimate instrument is death, massive death. War brings massive death and mayhem and you know, tyrannical things and just horrific things. Everything that Satan would want to happen happens in a war. Sometimes you got to have wars, you know, righteous wars, but in the context of that, that Satan loves to have wars because you could take a mass amount of lives out. Mm-hmm. But we don't want war. We mm-hmm. want peace. And we need to pray over this land, over America, you know, peace. Some of the words that will be being shared in our next program about from John Paul Jackson, how it's coming to pass, and it's come to pass, is you know, how our military is being downsized. It's going to cause us to be weak. It's going to bring tyrannical leadership in different nations. I mean, all these things are taking place, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got to check and make sure, you know, the prophetic check-in. And so before we start, though, I want to be able to – did y'all talk about Tamarisi?
We sure did.
Oh, yeah. Man, isn't that exciting? Sergeant Tamarisi out. That is yeah. – that is – I am so thankful for that, for everybody that prayed and sowed and stood. And Andrew, we're excited that you're out. We appreciate everything you've done, and we're sorry it took so long, but we think we're getting back on track again. Speaking of Bob Jones, hopefully we'll be able to play a segment of hearing what was said about the last 2 years of President Obama's presidency. Is that okay? All right. I just got to check again. Get me okay.
If you feel necessary, yeah, right. Check. Keep on checking. Right.
Bob running by John just to make sure, man. Get me the okay.
John Paul Ramos.
Ask, yeah. ask the question. It is my name.
Is it okay? I got to check with him. Okay. See, no, listen. Bob Jones specifically talked about before his passing, prior to the elections that put our current president in, what the last 2 years would be like. We want to be able to hear that because it totally lines up with what we're hearing and been seeing. And the issue is not Washington. The issue is not the president. The issue is not the political party. The issue is the church, God, people that call ourselves God's folks, that God wants us to repent. And what you'll hear in the next program is, you know, these different things are happening, and it's so tragic. And okay, different things are happening, and all. So it's getting the okay. Is things, and that you know, how long is this going to last? And it's like until we repent. Until and the worst thing we could do is have a reprieve in our own hearts and say, ah, oh, we could go to sleep again. Hmm. And that's what Pat Robinson just recently said in the CBN 700 Club. He says the dangers are is the church will go back to sleep again. And don't think she really fully woke up yet, but what's coming in the next few months, I believe, is really going to wake us up. And it's the purpose is to bring us back to a place of walking, abiding with God. In addition to that, we'll be talking about, I don't know if you know this or not, but this last week was, you're starting to see a lot more Guy Fawkes masks out there. And that's one of the prophetic words that we had given. A leader with Hamas is saying to Hezbollah, a leader makes a speech via video saying that in southern Beirut that there's going to be rockets coming into Israel. You're seeing this escalation of, you know, a intifada. And what that means is uprising and what they would consider a holy uprising. Right. They would call it that. The difficult thing they're having, though, reports on by CBN News, is that even though they're offering to pay people to fight their war, Arab people are starting to say, I don't care. They never bought a lot of people you saw fighting on the news on behalf of these individuals, the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to so many other people that have reported this, Hamas, Hezbollah, and all that. They were getting paid to do it. They needed money. Ooh. And I mean, how many people go to their job? I mean, think about this. How many people go to their job? And it shouldn't be us, but you know, other people. How many people go to their job and they think, you know, I'm here for the paycheck?
Right.
I mean, they're not really buying into this whole new widget vision, thing or vision, whatever, yeah. but they're there for the paycheck. I mean, if you don't have any money, you got to feed, there's a chance, especially with what's being taught in your schools and everything in that area. But what's exciting to hear, reports are right now from CBN News that people are not, Arab people are not willing to take that paycheck from the militant arm
wow.
of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Wow.
Which is, you know, they have, there's nothing, they don't have anybody, because nobody, most people don't believe in this. They don't believe this is just something that you just do. Ooh. And that's exciting. Continue to pray for the revival taking place in the Arab lands and in Gaza and all the areas in Iraq and northern Africa, which is Libya and Egypt.
Egypt, all those areas right there.
Chad yeah. and Morocco. And what's it, right? That's a little humorous thing. Asking Americans, you know, John didn't know where DC was. So it was just a joke.
Yeah, right.
Wear that one joke out, right?
That's right.
But we'll be talking about that
one.
As well.
It's hopefully, faithful, Nick, he's coming up.
We're just trying to pick. It's hard to pick, and that I one just know, surfaces since that's the capital of all jokes. Now, that's the capital of all jokes. You know what I'm talking about? But, you know, when Bob Jones passed this year, I mean, Bob Jones, you have, if you hang around Morningstar, I mean, they say things like this, and nobody blinks. You know, I was just in a dream and I was flying around here.
I know.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, you got grown folks sitting around, executives, you got your typical person going like, well, praise God, it's great. Mm-hmm. So you were flying with what did the Lord reveal to you when you were flying around? It's true. And, but if you look in the Bible, you'll find out that's what happened to, the evangelist
Philip,
you know, he just was here and then
he
there.
Wasn't, yeah.
That was Enoch, but he actually was again.
He went somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah right. It was close. It was half doctrinally correct. And we're just having fun today, aren't we?
Yeah, yes, we are. Yeah.
But it's important to understand that that's written in the Bible. And if everything that God did, that Jesus did, was written in the Bible, there wouldn't be room enough to contain it. We can personally begin to really relate to that because we're trying to grab these answers to prayers, these powerful things, and make them available to this, you know, our prayer community because they're praying and God's answering and share things here on. But he's doing so much, we're just kind of reaching up and grabbing something and just going like, okay, he just healed someone. He just raised someone from the dead, you know. I was just thinking about the guy that was sent to go do his funeral, and I finally just said, you know, can I speak life over him before that, you know, asking for permission because they were ready to bury him. He was in hospice and he was out. And they said yes. And guess what? I got a phone call and a few hours later that says he's sitting up laughing and talking about going fishing. God raised this man. You know, from his deathbed.
Awesome.
This is so exciting. When we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, my question was regarding this sanctity of life and abortion and partial birth abortion. What is a physician's stand when he performs abortions or she performs abortions, considering the fact that they took the Hippocratic Oath, which says they will do everything in their power to withhold and sanctify life?
You know, the fascinating aspect about that is I watched the testimony and participated in the trial in New York, and in that particular case, they don't really care about what their oath said. They believe that there's an unfettered, non-restricted right to abortion at any time during a pregnancy from the first month to the ninth. And they see no distinction between even the child who's outside of the womb and that abortion taking place versus one that's in the first month. They look at it all the same.
Visit us at ACLJ.org.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. I want to welcome on the Gulf Coast every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so humbled about being there, but we know that God has called us to be able to be light, you know, on the Gulf Coast and on VFN radio around the nation and around the world. We're just getting requests in from Pakistan. We'll say a big shout out to all of our sisters and brothers in Pakistan, as our president would say, to be able to, you know, come and somehow participate and speak, you know, in a virtual way. That there's just so many different ways to be able to just give hope and share.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So first we're going to go to this leader of Hezbollah and see what they're talking about in Israel, about Israel. You got to see this. John is going to interpret this as you see it and you hear it on the TV. Watch.
Down Haifa, port, and so on and forth. That is correct. You will have to shut down your airports and you will not find any single place in occupied Palestine that the rockets of the Islamic resistance in Lebanon will not be able to reach.
This is a totally amazing what's taking place there, because we can get distracted by, you're about to see Israel facing the next intifada. And intifada is, Americans, we've got to start using words we understand.
Right.
Uprising. That they're talking about a third uprising. Intifada would say, based on the religion, it would be something that they would approve of, you know, sects of that religion. But just understanding that this is Israel. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And, you know, Israel is totally surrounded. All the things you can find on the related links about what's going on. Iran's working on the nuclear weaponry that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's telling us, you know, everything's important. Ultimately important is what Iran's doing over here. And the reason why relations are not well with our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Barack Obama, because President Barack Obama has been organizing the Middle East. As he said, the Middle East need to be organized, and he is building relationships and letting the wind of Arab Spring blow over every nation that wanted to, except for Iran and the Green Party. And it's, you know, something is being totally set up. You're going to begin to see, too, in our next program, you'll hear this, but we've been saying this, you know, watch Turkey and watch the Ottoman Empire begin to arise again. And notice that our president sent the Iron Curtain to Turkey. Mm. And look how Turkey's kind of just sitting back and coming down as ISIL is coming up into Turkey and beginning to attack the Kurds and the Kurdish army that's there. And it's like, how did this thing come about Turkey? And then remember, the Turkey's leader, the president,
Erdogan
got into office because he preached against hatred towards Israel, hatred towards Jews. That's why they promoted him there. And so you have this huge win, of which our president openly saying that he's supportive, he thinks it needs to be organized. He openly said it didn't go back to the 1967 border lines, and which is undefensible borders, which we talked about in a previous program, which takes us back to the 60s, which is not good, which we talked about as well. But as we're seeing now, here's America coming into this wave where people are going to get the sense of, okay, we don't have to pay attention. Israel is surrounded, and they're wanting to cause another third uprising. And the uprising is polarization. You first have to organize to polarize to get what you want. It's basic satanic principles written out in a book by Saul Alinsky called Rules for Radicals, taught by our president for 4 years, by the way, written and mentored students are President Barack Obama when he wasn't president, and Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is, by the way, behind the scenes. And I can't help but see this. I just really see that her, I believe probably she's going to run for president. I don't know or not. But there is a 16-year plan, and it's not necessarily, I think that, you know, possibly the president and Hillary Clinton are in agreement with the plan, but I don't think it's their plan. I think it's more of the few that control the finances aspect of it. And one person is George Soros that was sitting on some sort of committee of hers that her daughter got married at his daughter's house. And he's the one that makes has made some money off the falling of economies. And you befriended someone who says that the European Union's fallen, the economy's fallen, you just got to ease it down slowly. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at America's economy right now, that it's been eased down slowly by being, you know, printing money and all those different things. But one of the big things I heard about, and we're going to go and understand this in a conjunction to, if we watch Israel, then we'll humble ourselves and say, you know what, God, we got to get right with you. The whole thing is to get right with you. But there's so many unfunded liabilities. When you hear our next program and hear what John Paul Jackson is going to be talking about, it is not the lower class or the high class, whatever, the two high and low pay people that's going to be fighting. It's going to be all the people that aren't doing squat. They're sitting back. And every time you talk to them about doing something for God, they go, you know, I got my retirement. I got my 401k. I got my union. Everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Those are the folks that are going to be so upset. They're going to be so upset because these are called unfunded liabilities. State after state knows, these people who ran for governor, that there's just not money there to be able to pay those retirements. That's why people could sit passively back and watch you just shrivel up and die. You're thinking, like, I've got my God. You know, I've got my provision. It's like, God's God, and he'll take that away. We could repent, and we could have it, and God could give us wisdom. And I think, you know, we will at some point, and minimum force necessary is going to be used. But look what's happening to Israel right now, and we kind of predict what's going to be happening to the church unless, you know, we want to pray for the peace of Israel. Watch now. CBN News.
John, Julie, thanks for joining us. Julie, there's been a lot of violence here. There's been riots. There's been terror attacks. Some people think we're on the verge of a third intifada. What do you think?
That's right, Chris. Some people think we're on the verge of it. Some say we're already in it. Others say, no, we're not going to have a third intifada at all. There are some differences between this and the previous two intifadas, armed uprisings of the Palestinians. One thing is that this one is really centered in Jerusalem. We really haven't seen attacks anywhere else in the country. One of the similarities is that the reports that we're hearing is that the people are being paid. Just like in the second intifada, there were some 40,000 terrorists, people paid to be terrorists. That, you know, if people said, hey, what does your dad do? They said, hey, my dad's a terrorist. And they really got paid to do terrorism. The similarity is that most of the Palestinians are not really in favor of this. It's really just a paid job.
Yeah. John, turning to the big news in the United States about the midterm elections, how do you think the midterm elections and the results now that the Republicans are controlling the U.S. Senate is going to affect U.S.-Israel relations?
Well, I think that it's good news basically for the government of Israel and the people of Israel that these elections worked out the way they did. I think what you're going to see, first of all, every committee chairmanship in the U.S. Senate is going to change hands now from Democrats to Republicans. What that means is several pro-Israel senators are going to come into a position where they can call hearings, they can start to open up and investigate U.S. policy in the Middle East, which most Americans believe right now is a failure. And that can't do anything but help Israel, in my view. I think that, you know, for instance, John McCain is about to become chairman of the Armed Services Committee. We'll have a new chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee who won't have to do the bidding so much of the State Department and the White House. Now, Obama is still commander-in-chief, and in that sense, he can wield a great deal of foreign policy power, but he's going to have to answer to Congress, and I would be very surprised and disappointed if Congress doesn't start opening up some hearings right away about U.S. funding of terrorism, about support for Israel's enemies at the expense of, or support for U.S. enemies at the expense of allies like Israel. And I think that there's going to be a little bit of a spotlight shined on what the administration's been doing over the past several years.
You know, later this month is going to be a big decision about the Iran's nuclear program, negotiations going on between the P5 plus one. Do you think this is going to affect those negotiations?
I'm concerned that they're going to try and ramrod these negotiations through before a new Senate and Congress is allowed to take power next January. I think that it's high on the Obama administration's list to reach an agreement with Iran, and more importantly, to prevent Israel from doing anything to stop it. That sounds just unbelievable, but that would be the central foreign policy of the administration, but that seems to be exactly what it is. So unless something dramatic changes, I would see the Obama administration going forward pushing even harder to try and reach some sort of agreement with Iran before the new Congress can get its legs.
And John, there has been some speculation that the Obama administration might actually pull the diplomatic cover for Israel in the United Nations. Any likelihood of that happening?
Oh boy, that would spark a real Donnybrook in the United States. I think we've just seen a huge statement by the American people repudiating the Obama agenda, and it would really be a reach for them to do that. I can't say they wouldn't, though, Chris. I don't know if they would actually try and do something like that. I think that the days of them being able to pull these kind of things and getting some cover from leaders in Congress is maybe about to come to an end. I pray that that's the case.
Yeah. And Julie, you did a story recently about Israeli-Americans voting in the U.S. elections. What are they looking for in these elections?
Well, you know, Chris, judging from the answers I got last week, there's a lot of happy people that the Republicans have now taken back control of Congress, of the Senate and the House of Representatives. I think, you know, most people are concerned about America for their relatives' sake. But over here, they're looking at the foreign policy. And until now, the Obama administration foreign policy hasn't been so good in the Middle East, not just for Israel, but for the surrounding countries. I think most people are glad that the Republicans are back in charge in Congress, and they're hoping that that will carry some weight as far as the Obama administration goes.
Okay. Well, John, Julie, thanks for joining us. It's going to be fascinating to see how this unfolds, and very important for both Israel and the United States. Thanks for joining us.
When we get back from this break, we're going to hear a prophetic word spoken by Bob Jones about these last 2 years of President Obama. It's going to really get your attention, but we've got to pay close attention prophetically. What is God saying? What is the Lord saying to his church?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen,
God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Bob Jones, he's now with the Lord, but we have a lot of his words that were recorded, and we're about to hear a piece of one of those words that was given about the last 2 years, which is called the lame duck years of a president, normally in his last part of his 6th to 8th year of his presidency. This word was given prior to him being elected into his second term. And God had already shown that that President Obama would be elected in the second term too, Bob. So Bob was talking about that, and he talked about why he was being elected. And we have to listen to this. And after this, we're going to talk about a word that just came from Dutch Sheets about, you know, where we are. And it's very exciting. Understand this, that when God begins to reveal some things, he's already been preparing for that. Mm-hmm. He's been preparing for that already, so we just got to look around and we got to hear what he's saying and be rightly related to what he's doing. And it takes all of us. We all know part and prophesy in part, but when we bring all the parts together, it's amazing. This preparation. You want you to hear right. This is Bob Jones speaking at a conference. I think it was potentially a Morningstar conference with Rick Joyner and Bob Jones, but he's talking about the last 2 years of President Obama's leadership as the president, which began
2012.
Yeah, it'll begin. No, us two. So it begins January 20th. Really, you got 2 years. But actually, yeah, the elections. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, it's like just happen because it could happen between now. And
the last two.
Last two. Let's listen to him now. Watch.
I believe it from what I've seen, that we're in for major changes next January the 20th. And what I saw was not what I wanted to see, for I knew that Obama would be elected president 6 months before he was. And I was told that out of the 109th Psalm, the 6th verse. When a nation turns against God, the Lord will raise up an evil man to rule over it. I was also told that what would happen in that 4 years administration, the last 2 years would be really like hell on earth, that it would be a lame duck Congress that nothing was decided. And the main purpose of this was to wake us up.
Hell on earth. That kind of describes what we've been seeing, what God's been showing, what a lot of our friends have been seeing. And you can find out more details. And we've been talking about this, and to repeat it over and over again, we don't have to do that now, because, you know, we want to build your faith for what's happening and why. Because God is wanting us to get to a place of repentance. Mm-hmm. This is not the world. This has nothing to do with anybody that doesn't claim to be, you know, one of God's followers, you know, that made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life or claims that. This is for us, the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven and heal their land. And this is just between us and God. Mm-hmm. And he loves us, and he has a plan for our life. And guess what? He's going to use minimum force necessary to get our attention. Consider hardship as discipline. Ooh. God's treating you like a son. So how's it, how are you feeling? More like a son than I ever
every day.
It's a totally amazing. Yeah. And so it's not to blame the world and people who openly say that they don't want anything to do with God. We got to look in the mirror to see, as James said, you know, what is our issue? Our issue, are we a doer of God's word? Do we do what God says? And then we're blessed if we do that. Mm-hmm. In James chapter 1. And so we're hearing that. And so now we're beginning those 2 years, and you can get this, you can get this, you know, I mean, it is something to be celebrated. I mean, thank God, you know, it was going to go that way either way, I believe, you know, and, you know, I would encourage any leader that's listening right now, any congressman, any senator, you know, don't repeat the sins of our past and try to impeach our president, because that would actually feed into the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's what happened during, you know, Bill Clinton's administration. Mm-hmm. And he came out with one of the most popular presidents. Either way, you know, I'm for or against him saying that. I'm just saying everything done can be undone if we repent, not if we get new presidencies and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the issue is not a party. The answer is not a political party. The answer and the problem is not President Barack Obama or Reid or Boehner or all these people that keep bringing up. Mm-hmm. The issue is between us and God, the creator of the universe. Think about that. I mean, we got something. It's not about going in the voting booth. It's about going into your closet and praying and saying, "Dear God, I've sinned." That's very empowering that we can do that now and lose less. But, right, you know, we're going to lose a lot more. And hell on earth is a good way to describe what we've been seeing. And we're going to go right into, in our next program, you got to see it. We're going to describe what hell on earth is going to look like by allowing John Paul Jackson to talk about it. And things that have come to pass, things that are coming to pass, and things that will come to pass as he begins to share about it. It's not to scare you. It's just like, you know, we can cut this thing off now by saying, God, you're right. Mm-hmm. We're wrong. And so a lot of leaders come to Rick Joyner and the Oak Initiative and General Boykin and the whole crew. There's very smart folks. You know what I'm saying? When you walk away from talking with them, you kind of go like, God can still use me. God can still use, right?
Yeah.
You're just talking about, you know, and then you know, she touched the hem of his garment. You know, his garment was made from a cotton fabric interwoven by them. It's like, yeah, right. Oh my goodness, you know? Okay, all right. The hem of his garment. I mean, just, it's good. This is very good and challenging like that. But the question, so because of that, what is wisdom? And it's knowledge that God has given, you know, these few or some. And so the leaders of the world are coming to them, and they're asking them a question. Leaders of America are coming to them. And so somebody just asked the question. I want you to see this. This is their answer. So what are the questions that they're asking, and what are your answers that you're giving them? Watch this. Listen up.
There is a desperation to know what's going on. And the scary thing is, I think people in top positions around the world do not know what's happening. And they are not in control. Things are beyond their own control. There are certain things that, whether it's the economy or whatever else, and I've been saying this for a long time, it is beyond human remedy. We're not going to get out of this without God. We really are not going to get out of this without him. But there's an openness to, like Nebuchadnezzar was open to Daniel. We need those with those kind of gifts that can give them divine words of wisdom, revelation, give them directions, Joseph's to Pharaoh's to save lives. That's why Joseph was given that wisdom. And so I think we should always be open to anybody that is a leader of people, government leader. But right now, if I could sum up what I feel the questions come in, it's almost a desperation. How are we going to get out of this? And the obvious vacuum of, to me, it's two extremes of desperation because they know we are on a path to unbelievable chaos and a mess. And the other one's just unbelievable arrogance, thinking we'll figure it out when we have to. But I see a whole lot more desperation. You know, I was also one time, I was had a driver in Germany who was a German prince. And I think they were just wanting to use his limo and everything. But he rode with me everywhere back and forth to the meetings. And I said, what do you do? You know, what does a prince do over here? And he said, well, I'm a mathematician. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on mathematical theories. I said, well, what do you do with these theories you're working on? He said, we don't have a clue. He said, we don't think anybody's going to know how to use our theories for about 100 years. Or use these problems we work. I said, explain this to me. Why are you giving up? He said, well, if you think about it, they're just now applying Einstein's theories, knowing how it applies and its effect. And we couldn't have gone to the moon, couldn't have had GPS, couldn't have had all kinds of things we're applying now. Didn't know how it would work, but still we need to, and they're looking that far down the road. I tell you, the church has got to start looking down the road. We've got to see beyond the end of our nose. Now, the kingdom is coming. That is the ultimate end. But there is a way that we build the highway for the kingdom and prepare the way for the Lord. He is going to come. And when he comes, I mean, it's going to be with finally mankind understanding there is no way we're going to fix this. We've got to have it. But his church really needs to understand that now. But it's not that we have to rely on him. We get to. He can fix it all easily and instantly. Everything. He is the answer to every human problem. But there's, there is a dearth of leadership in the world. I don't think there's ever been a greater need for wise leadership, and I don't think there's ever been a bigger vacuum. My encouragement is God has an unbelievable farm team that tells me we have a future. Maybe the present leadership we see is really lacking, and I'm talking about in every area, church included. But the ones who he is preparing for leadership with that obvious calling and destiny and purpose on them is unbelievable. So we have a future. We have a future.
I believe what's coming up, we're not going to get out of it. We're going through it. And by going through it, I mean it's going to take a time. It's going to take certain seasons. And then I think there's going to be commitments made in the church like never before. But I don't see us getting out of these problems. I see us going through them. And it's going to take a time to go through them and correct. In that time of going through them and correcting, I believe that we're going through them and be corrected too. It'll be a work done in us to where we do the things we were called to do. And that means take over. So I believe that we are going to prevail. But if you're expecting to miss it, I think you're wrong. All of us are going to go through these things. It's going to be a timing in doing it. And that timing in doing it is preparing and equipping us to do these things. I believe it's already started this year. And it increases year by year. By the year 2015, the harvest is out there and being gathered in. And as we go through it, I think you're going to begin to bring in the harvest. But if you're expecting all of it to be ironed out immediately, I think you're going to be disappointed. Because it isn't going to be, and it didn't start immediately. It actually started probably 200 years ago in our schools. But it is going to turn around. And the only answer is Christ. And I believe that as we're going through it, the church will find their answer. And will be able to relate it to the unsaved world. But there's a timing involved in this. And I believe gradually it's going to improve. I think the next 10 years is going to be the most exciting time that the church has ever lived. Because they're going through it. You're going to come through out. You're going to come out on the other side, and you're going to have the answers when you do. And the answer is Christ in you. And I believe that we begin to see the glory this year of the equipping and preparation for this. But impatience, I think, is one of our greatest sins. It is mine, anyway. I think that we better get patient and be in this for the long run. But we will come out on the other side as winners. If you haven't read the last chapters, you need to read them, because we win.
Yeah.
This is so important, because we're just going to break, but we're going to be talking about building for 1,000 years. Don't forget, you know, our God is a God, a redeemer. There is the end of the age, not the end of the world. And we're called to do something, not to just try to escape. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about Dutch Sheets' prophetic word. We'll make the whole thing available to you. But a new paradigm shift has to be taken on, a revelatory paradigm shift, so we can move into what God wants to do. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Joining me today, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going good.
Very good.
How are you?
Doing good. I really enjoyed our time at the Dream Center Sunday.
Yeah,
did you enjoy
did
that?
Did you?
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was trying to keep your identity secret.
You did a great job. I did everything. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
I was given a great, great example of humility or something like that. What was it?
Humiliation?
Humiliation.
One of the two. Something.
Yeah, and I had to think quickly, you know, and the first thing I thought about was that man you picked up and threw out of the office years ago.
No, I didn't touch him.
You didn't touch him. You didn't have to in those days.
No, right.
It was like, you know, speaking as like Spider-Man.
You might want to, you know, use that door over there.
Well, he shouldn't have talked about anything about your IQ. I mean, if anybody knew anything at that time, you did not threaten anything about, because you're so smart. He didn't understand how intelligent you were, you know, and what you didn't have in intelligence, you made it through brawn. You were huge. Remember that?
No. I mean,
he used to come. He used to come to work. And go. Wah, wah. I was like, amazing. You could bench at least 125. Wasn't it 125? It was mentioned at that time.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you letting me be able to share that.
Yeah.
But you
no
know,
problem.
It's so funny. You can have all these intentions about lifting weights and all that, and then you could think about it and go,
what was I thinking?
What was I doing
already?
What you do is you just gain weight and you pick yourself up every day. You know, I'm benching. I ain't gonna tell you what I'm benching every day.
Yeah, right.
Squatting, I guess they would say.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hopefully we get a chance to be able to show you this clock going backwards at the passing of Bob Jones. Pretty amazing thing. Our next program, you got to catch it. But that chief just came out with this prophetic word, and it's a warning. And in it, it kind of lays the foundation of where we're going. You can see the whole word on the VFN torch. But just to summarize it, you know, this is what he says. He says, God was calling the body of Christ into a time of tremendous stretching and paradigm shifting to prepare the way for those who would be pioneers for new methods and activities. I mean, if you stay around a method that's been around for a while, it spiritually just smells musky. You know, everybody's starting to get, and you can tell God's doing it in the people's hearts because they're starting to ask the question like, I know I helped buy this wing on this thing, but you know, I don't mind leaving it. You can have the wing. You can pull my little nameplate thing down. Right. I want God. And he said, God is calling the body of Christ into a time of tremendous stretching and paradigm shifting to prepare the way for those who would be pioneers for new methods and activities. God's got new methods and activities to be able to bring the solid gospel, unchanging gospel, already laid out. And this particular prophetic dream that his daughter had that he got the interpretation of, we're trying to get it in before the program ends. It talked about a border, it talked about a floor, and it talked about a room, and it talked about how the floor represents the borders, which is wisdom, and the room represents the revelation. Of course, you've got to have the floor, but you need the room itself too. And so often the church is building on wisdom, which is something you understand and you're walking out, and it's something that has happened, which is good. But revelation is something that is happening and that will happen. You're walking in the, you know, God is our ever present help in time of the trouble. And we talked to folks today and we asked the question, you know, what's God saying to you? And they're shocked. And then you tell them what God's saying to you and they're going like, no. And then you think, you know, my sheep know my voice. And you're supposed to hear. It's a normal thing to hear from the Lord. And we're not talking about an audible voice, but we talk about abiding with the Lord. We talk about over and over again at iabide.org. Begin to hear the voice of the Lord. Learn how to hear from him, because this is how things are going to happen. You're going to get a revelation. We need the wisdom, but the function in this new turn is going to come in the revelatory when God says, now, do this, do this, do this, do this. And we just have to respond. We have to obey instantly. Our Lord just laid something on me this morning, and John and I will be meeting about it and talking about it, because when God says move, that's when the anointing's on that thing to be able to move what he wants you to do. But he talks about that's yesterday's revelation. Then he says revelation must be interpreted in the larger context of wisdom, so you don't leave wisdom to interpret that. And the heart posture for these type of things, we have to be willing to break out of the mold, he says. This is Dutch Sheets. And jump off the new cliffs into the deeper waters that he will release through us. I mean, how many things have we jumped out of? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and he says, by following the Holy Spirit's promptings, nameless, faceless men and women have been used of God to deliver and transform entire people groups and nations. Get this whole word on the VFN torch, but I just want to encourage you that we're building for 1,000 years. It's time for us to come out of our caves. It's time for us to come out and say, you know, even if it is Jezebel trying to claim your head, Elijah, come on out of the cave and realize that we're called to deny our life. We're called to lay down our life. Sure. And we're called to be able to talk about how Jesus laid down his life, but he was raised again on the third day. That's what we're called to do, the good news of Jesus Christ. The power is in the cross. So I want to encourage you, don't let, and understand when you start moving forward, it just convicts everybody around you, because that means either you're crazy or they're in rebellion. Because when you start obeying what God says in his word, they have to begin to realize, I'm not either in the word or I've been trying to change what God's word says, but the reality is the fruit of my life, I'm not doing it. And they'll just do things like Peter did. They'll say, you know, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to the mission field. Don't plant a church. Don't hang out with that crew, you know, that hears God. You know, they'll say all these kind of things. You can't listen to them, because even Jesus said, after saying, you know, get behind me, Satan. So he called Peter Satan. I mean, imagine that, you know. Mm-hmm. And how many people in America today, if you had to just deal with something, you know, they would take 10 years of therapy just to be able to get past it and realize, no, God loves you. That was Satan to just use you right at that particular time. Mm-hmm. But he said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. If Jesus can be tempted, if the Son of God, who is in communion continually with God himself, who knows God thoroughly inside and out, who loves God, willing to lay down his life, if he can be tempted by somebody who has this horizontal white picket fence viewpoint of earthly mindset, and he was thinking about the ministry, he was thinking about, you know, what he thought, how things should be. And he just said something, it was the same mean, but it almost tempted Jesus to not do the Father's will and go to Jerusalem. Sometimes we've got to go to Jerusalem. So you got to be careful. You can't sit around and take the counsel of the ungodly. And this is the ungodly. I got to tell you what the ungodly is. People that are not walking with God. People who are not abiding with God. It's not that they're mean, they're hateful, or you're thinking bad about them or anything like that. It's just the fact is, if they speak to you right now because they don't talk to God and they're not in his word, the things you're going to hear is going to be ungodly. It's not going to be of God.
Mm-hmm.
It may be religious, but it's not of God. It may be wisdom, but it's not revelatory now words that's coming from God at that particular point, as Dutch Sheets said. So what really helps is hanging around people, like-minded people. How can two walk together unless they agree? And people that are hearing from God saying, you know, I want to do something significant for God. I'm ready to get in this thing. I'm ready to do what God asked me to do. I'm ready to go make disciples of the nation and to be used to build and establish and call down the kingdom of God in the world. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. to stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.